Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Global Village International Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, and co-host, Doug Bentley. Dr. Douglas interviews Judy Wilkins-Smith, author of Decoding Your Emotional Blueprint, a powerful guide to transformation through disentangling multi-generational patterns. Plus, Judy will discuss her four-day intensive workshop, Money DNA, helping attendees to learn how limiting patterns related to money can hold us back. Now, here's our Global Village Radio host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
Welcome, everyone, to the Global Village podcast and programs. We're here today with a very, very special guest, Judy Wilkins-Smith. It's a delight to have you today, my dear. I'm looking forward to finding out all about your wonderful book, your life, and your upcoming events. You're such a dynamic person, I really don't know where to begin. So let's start a little bit about who are you to our audience who might not know you. Yeah, there might be one or two people in the world who don't know, but maybe we'll try to address that. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
So who am I? I am originally from South Africa, now living in Texas. I'm an executive coach, and I'm also a systemic work and constellations trainer and facilitator. And I offer live events in addition to my executive coaching. So with my executive coaching, I coach top executives around the world. My live events are open to the public. So that's a little bit about me. I'm very lucky. I've gotten to do this work all over the world.
Well, I read in your press kit, you have quite impressive credentials, I might add. And I want to know a little more about, the wonderful things that you're doing about your, let me get it first here, and I say it correctly, your transformative world of systemic constellation work. Wow, that's a lot of words put together. And I'm really curious to find out about that. And I'm going to also mention, while we're talking, Decoding Your Emotional Blueprint book. I love the title. Everybody should go out and buy one tomorrow, because I talk about emotional immaturity, spiritual immaturity, and maturity, of course, is on the road that everybody is. But when I saw the title of your book, and it's a very nice title and a very nice cover as well, I was struck with Decoding Your Emotional Blueprint. I think the world today, we're on this big spiritual lesson about maturing emotionally, and that'll lead us into the rest of the benefits that will come along with that. Before we get into this amazing talent of transformative world of systemic constellation work, pardon me, I just love the title. Is it combined? Can we talk about that and talk about the book at the same time?
Of course, of course.
Tell me about the book. How did you get that public title?
Oh, so I had been teaching this work for quite a while. And with my particular approach, with much of systemic work and constellations, it's about identifying the emotional or identifying the pattern in the family that's passed down to you and has you stuck. And so I began to play a lot in the and then what. Mm. And so Mine is all about emotional DNA. What are the patterns of thoughts, feelings, actions, reactions that you've inherited? Where did they come from? How do they impact you? Most importantly, what is your purpose with them? In other words, are they trying to stop or start through you? And where something has always been limiting, how are you going to decode it and reframe it into the grand purpose of limitlessness that it was supposed to be? So it's really about leveling up as a person and leveling up our souls and our spirits. And we think it sounds very airy, fairy, and very out there. But what I've done is break it down so that even though it's deeply transformative, it's also logical and easy to follow. Because I think so many times we get lost in these whole grand ideas of becoming the bigger person. This shows you how.
Well, I love it. I love it. While you're talking, my mind is seeing all kinds of clients I've had and circumstances that have come up. And even you've addressed some of the questions I was going to ask you. There's a two-step process as far as I'm concerned. First, there's three. There's the one, live in bliss. You're ignorant. Live your life and suffer. Endure life is what I like to say. But if you're a little wiser, pick up your book, of course, because this is one of the first, books that has addressed the basic issue of what's life all about? Why did this happen to me? This is unfair. You know, my parents were to blame, my job, my boss is to blame, the world is to blame, not me. So when it gets to that point, when somebody's at that fulcrum in their life and they say, there's got to be an answer, there's got to be a solution, because I believe for every issue, challenge, there is always, always, always a remedy, a solution, an alternative, okay, and a gift, because that's kind of where I was going. So when one looks back, I mean, everybody's surprised. Somebody will say, how is it you can fix cars? You've never gone to school. They say, oh, he's a natural, right? They play these concertos, all these music, these instruments. Oh, well, they're just a child protege. It's natural. They're a savant. They know how to do this. There's always some term for what the person is doing, but I think you've nailed it by saying, it's in your emotional DNA. These talents and abilities come along with you. Human nature always looks at the spot on the stain on the window and not looking through the big vista. So how is it that you have addressed this, or can you help my audience say, this is what you do? First of all, you recognize that you have these innate talents, good, bad, and better. And how is it when they come to that point, this is the two points. One, they recognize that there is some problem. And two, that somewhere inside of you is a solution. So how do they get to that point?
So I love that you said somewhere inside you is the solution. Somewhere inside you, or somewhere in your ancestry, but ultimately somewhere inside you absolutely is the solution. So what happens is this. We have an event that happens. Perhaps it was a Great Depression. During the Great Depression, some people made money, a lot of people lost money. And you want to listen to what each one told themselves. The ones who made money went, here's an opportunity. The ones who lost money went, everything is lost. And so it became. Because what we tell ourselves, when our brain tells our body a story that our body believes, that becomes the truth, good or bad. Mm-hmm. So we're either negatively aligned, head, heart, and gut, or positively aligned. And so a lot of this work is about, so you're negatively aligned, what's going on for you? What I say to people is look where you are irritated, sad, unhappy, dogmatic, terribly stubborn, fixated on or obsessed with a particular subject, and you're feeling stuck. And you want to sit down and write down all of your thoughts, all of your feelings, and all of your actions around that. That's going to tell you the pattern that may have echoed down for many generations and is trying to stop with you. It's irritating you enough that you're going, I don't want this. I don't like it. So that's part one. If you then go, you know what I wish? You know what my heart's desire is with it? If only I could sit down again, write down your thoughts, feelings, and actions, because that is the pattern that's trying to start through you. So you've got the two sitting right next to each other. The one that's trying to stop has gifts. It's telling you what to not do. It's also telling you what is done. And it's giving you the gems out of that that say, don't be stubborn like us. You're open-minded. This is a gift. Or actually, you're open-hearted. It's not about the mind. So each one is giving you clues. And you don't want to push away the one that wants to stop. You want to look at it for wisdom. And then you want to turn around and start creating the thoughts, the feelings, and the actions that make you grin and make you smile and light you up. And you're going, yes. And then what you've got to do to bridge between the one and the other is make this journey so exciting that it's too exciting to stay here. And it'll pull you past all of the thoughts and the excuses that keep you stuck. When you do that, you're well on your way.
Well, I love what you just said. I think that's an amazing description on how a person come to that point in their life to say, you know, I've had enough. I want to be different. Of course, people are spending a fortune on motivational books. And I had a guest on some time ago saying he's come up with a new affirmation that's not an affirmation. It's something different. And I was listening to him. I was quite intrigued. And so people are searching. And what you've just described is it's not an outward search, it's an inward search.
Very much. It is absolutely. The other thing for people to recognize is we're born with a full language, but we only speak half. And it goes to that thing that you said about the stain on the window. You can't, you shouldn't, you're stupid, you're dumb, you're small, be humble, be disappear. That's half of the language we were born with. There's another half. You can, you're wise, you're limitless, you're capable. Absolutely, you should. And this is the language that we're almost forbidden to speak. But when we begin to look at it and see that this language is not the truth, this language is your fuller language, it's the growing up language, we realize that we just had an arrested development. We stopped. Instead of going, this was here and this is now, and look what I can do, and really encouraging ourselves, we invest in what we've been raised on, which is, you're just hopeless. You should die nicely and maybe you get a good seat in heaven. No, heaven's right here, right now, and you can have it.
Well, you know, in finances, they talk about 3% of the population are wealthy and the other 97% are poor, meaning
right.
they are dependent on somebody else for their income. So as I was listening to you, what was going through my mind is this important thing. You have said the word I, meaning the person comes to that point somewhere in life, whether you're in your 20s, 40s, 60s, or 70s, it doesn't matter, but you come to that point all of a sudden that it's you. And all the things you've been told has been propaganda, and that has been conformity from other people who are maybe a little jealous. Or maybe they don't want you to get ahead, or maybe they don't know how.
A little hurt, a little sad, a little confused, and we've all been there. And that's what we're locked into, is what you would call a big global pattern. But think about it, we're pretty able to break that pattern if we want. We would, and we know this, because we can cooperate and collaborate, otherwise we'd all be banging into each other in our cars. But we're also able to flip that quickly. When Apple came out with their first whatever it was, it did not take us very long to go, oh, we can do that. So we're very capable if the incentive is there. So it's creating your adventure, and you've got to create an adventure that's big enough for you to be excited. Now, it may be, I'm going to get healthy. I'm going to become wealthy. I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to be a philanthropist. Two things. Don't go tell the world, because they will try and rain on your parade. Don't go tell.
I love it. Exactly.
So that's number one. Number two, be so excited that you cannot stand it in the morning. You've got to get out of bed and you're putting another piece in. And I would say one third final one is sometimes it may take a while. Never, ever, 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 ever give up on your dream. It will happen if you invest.
Well, you know, that to me, those are the three great pillars of success right there. That's, and it's in your book, Decoding Your Emotional Blueprint. I want to tell everybody, run out and buy your book right away, because what you've just said are the three basic things I found out of my life the hard way. And And you get to that point, we all do. So the sooner, the better. One of the ways to get sooner is to buy your book, or to read your book, I should say.
This is true. It really is written so that people can recognize very quickly that they're it, and you're not a deficient it. People come to me often and they say, I'm broken. And I go, you're not broken. We're not born broken. You're born as a model, a basic model. What layers you add on are what turn you into a luxury model or a not luxury model. And we see this even with people who come from the most basic lifestyle. Suddenly we have a shooting star. What happened? They had more brain? No. They had more commitment and more will. And all they did was they say, I'm investing. In fact, they didn't even have more will. They just had the commitment. They knew they were going to do it, and they didn't let anything stop them. And this is very important.
I would agree 100% that being tenacious and having enthusiasm inside for your ultimate success. So a very wise businessman once said to me, Douglas, you have to have goals. And you have to have a big success, but you have to have little goals and little successes along the way. Tell me about executives when you deal with them, because everybody looks at executives. They know it all. They have lots of money. What do they need to know? They're real people like you and I, and they weren't always.
Very real people. They're lovely people. I have the nicest clients. I'm very, very fortunate. I have top executives in very big companies, and people always say to me, they're never going to tell you about their life. They can't wait to talk about their life because they know that once they start going in, they're not going to cap as leaders. They're going to start becoming visionaries who are limitless, and their teams can only rise as fast as they are willing to rise.
Well said.
Over and over with executives who tell me, well, I can never get to this position because, and they've got a story in there that came from the family. And when we disentangle the story, they go, oh, and suddenly they rise. So, yeah, they're real people.
I've seen it in my life. I've taught every huge business executive that I've dealt with over the last 50 years has had failure. And they've had to pick themselves up. And that was the one thing. They said, I didn't like it at the time, but it sure was a blessing in disguise. So they learn from their mistakes. They're always seeking. And that's, as you've just mentioned, some of your clients are always, they want to talk. They want to know more. They're always curious because they know there's more to know. Anybody who knows, they know. They know, they know. They need to know more. Pardon that tongue twister. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you captured something beautifully. Steve Jobs said, dreamers dream, doers ask. They ask. They want to know. They're willing to know. Makes a difference.
So how do you, when somebody comes into your office and you're there and, you know, you're the oracle, you're the lady with all the answers, and they're sitting there, how do you think they look at you? And what is their usual first question, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, I don't mind. So when we first meet, I think they often look at me and go, what are you thinking? What are you seeing? I know I can see it. But they're
you see saying, right through them.
Yeah, what are you thinking about me? And I say to them, here's the deal. I don't have the answers you do, but we're going to find them together. And you're going to be surprised at how wise you are. That's my thing is, I want to go with you on the journey. We're going to find your story, and it's going to be remarkable, and it's going to be unique. And if you're willing to go on the journey, you're going to find out that you have an incredible purpose.
I'm getting excited thinking, you know, of all the people that come and as they sit across from you and they tell you the stories, and you're seeing the map unfold, right? It's a remarkable position to be in, first of all, to see people coming and telling their stories. But is there a theme that, you know, may I inquire, that kind of bubbles up right away?
Yeah, very quickly, actually, because I start asking them immediately, well, why are you here? What would you like to achieve with this? It's the same at a live event. If I do a live event, like the one I'm doing in November at Disney World, if I do a live event, it takes us about 10 to 15 minutes to understand what it is that they're wanting to work with and wanting to shift. And so what I do is I listen for a history. And if you're doing systemic work and constellations, then what you do is you listen to the history, and you identify the relevant parts of that history. So maybe it's mom, dad, sister, brother, you, whatever that may be. And so here's the magic piece. Then what I will say at a live event, this is not with all my clients, but at a live event, what I'll say is, I want you to pick someone to represent your mom, your dad, your sister, your brother, and yourself. And so we gather those up and I say to them, now set them in the room the way that it is for you with regards to the specific issue that we're working with. And they'll set it up and we'll see maybe mom's in the distance, dad is right close by, the siblings are looking down, and I start to ask questions, what's that? Talk to me about mom in the distance, what's going on over here? And all of a sudden, what they're doing is they're recognizing and seeing patterns in 3D. So they're seeing it, they're talking about it, they're hearing it, they're hearing their own conversation, they're watching these representatives start to move or look around, and they're going, oh my goodness, that's my mother or my, that's exactly what they would do. Because we're very capable of sensing into systems. And so within a very short time, they can see what the problem or the issue is, and then they can begin to see what the potential solution is. And as they start to rewire the language, you can see it rewiring in the brain, and you can see the body starting to do that, and they have those big aha moments. And these are what people come from all over because they want to see, what is this and how is it that I can shift quickly? And I think one of the things that I hear the most is, how is this possible? I've sat with this for 20 years and we've just addressed it in 2 hours or an hour. Well, it's because you're using those multiple sensations and you're engaging it in an embodied experience. And so the whole body is feeling it and downloading it. And so it's quite quick and it's quite profound. When I'm working one-on-one with my executives, I will sometimes use pieces of paper and we'll lay them down and look, but you get that same 3D multidimensional feeling. And once they can see it, what we're literally doing is making the unconscious conscious and the invisible visible. And it's the first time that people have seen it. They see the pattern in front of them and they go, my goodness, do you mean it wasn't my fault? No, it wasn't your fault. Can you see where your mom's attention was? Oh my goodness. So there are big ahas and insights that happen. So that's typical of the scenes that will unfold when I'm working with people.
Wow, that's a lot. Absolutely a lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah. Before we go to a break, tell me a little bit about what's going on in November.
November, I am teaching money DNA. So where are your money patterns? Where did they come from? And when I say teaching, let me be clear. I'm not teaching, I'm hosting. So I teach a bit about it and then people get to go and work on their own money DNA with me. So we do that process I was speaking about. And they work together in groups. And so they're having aha after aha. So it's at Disney World at the Beach Club, November 5th through 8th. And that one is open to the public. It's super popular because everybody wants to know, why do some people make money and I don't? Or I make money, but now how can I elevate that and what can I do with it?
Or how can I keep it?
And yes, that's a really big one. We'll touch on that again.
Okay, but how can people find out about this or where can they go, your website or someplace? How can they get
so
there?
So if they go to judywilkins-smith.com, it's right there under events, upcoming events, so they'll find that there.
Okay, we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back after this.
We're so glad you tuned in tonight to the Global Village Radio Show with Dr. Douglas James Cottrell. We'll be back in just a few moments. One of the most poignant topics of discussion in today's world is the evidence of earthly changes and what began as what the media called global warming. Did you know our Global Village host wrote the most detailed predictive book about the future of our planet?
The New Earth is a book that drills down to specific events, many of which have already come true, but much more than severe weather patterns, seismic eruptions, the New Earth tells us how to prepare and understand how societies and governments will be forced to accommodate these future events. Originally published as The New Renaissance, the updated manuscript is one of Dr. Douglas Cottrell's best-selling books. Pole shift, coastal and inland changes, volcanoes and earthquakes, rising temperatures, specific landmass changes, healing our emotional health during these changes, and so much more. Go to DouglasJamesCottrellStore.com. That's DouglasJamesCottrellStore.com for immediate access to your printed copy of The New Earth. Did you know that Dr. Douglas Cottrell has several other weekly channels where you can participate? Check out his Sunday International Spiritual Healing Service on Zoom, plus a Wednesday night Zoom community gathering. And you might also enjoy the Wake Up podcast exploring human consciousness, awareness, and intuition with Dr. Douglas and co-host Les Hubert. Just go to DouglasJamesCottrell.com and message us on the contact page to add your name to the Zoom links of your choice. Welcome back to the Global Village Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, and co-host Doug Bentley. We're not taking phone calls during this hour. This is a pre-recorded show with a very special guest, Judy Wilkins Smith, author of Decoding Your Emotional Blueprint. Now, once again, here's our host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
And welcome back. We're speaking to this amazing lady who can find out or help you find out, let me say, what's going on inside of you, what your emotional blueprint is. And from what I'm hearing so far in this delightful interview, is this is an extremely valuable thing that everybody should consider. If they can't come to see you in November at Disney, then they should go to your website or wherever your book is available. And again, it's Judy Wilkins Smith, and it's Decoding Wilkins Smith, pardon me, Decoding Your Emotional Blueprint. I'm going to get one myself. I mean, this is a I know a lot about things, but what you're doing today is making extremely good sense to me. So as we continue on this inner journey, the one thing that I found, and I'll ask you maybe to elaborate if you agree, conformity is a sin, and everybody seems to conform. And again, 97% of the population is not independently wealthy, so therefore they're failing at some degree. So learning not to conform is a very valuable thing. And taking your words, you take these people on this personal journey inside and you find out that they have been lied to, misled, propaganda has been given to them, they've been prejudged. Those are my words, not yours. And so how is it that you get people past the sin of conformity and jumping through that threshold into this new life? I think that goes hand in hand.
So I would say conformity is not a sin, it's a sleep. And it's the big sleep that we've all been trapped in.
Okay.
And prejudged, yeah, it's more what I notice is that there are patterns that we follow because we want to belong. And belonging is one of the greatest things in the human race. We want to belong, so we don't challenge the pattern. Now, when we challenge that and we're frightened, we won't belong anymore. So what I say to people is this. When they say, oh, I'm about to step out of my family system and then there's going to be a problem, I say to them, no, you're not. And they really are not. You're stepping ahead of the system, stepping beyond all of the old limiting sayings, and you're looking at new sayings. So all you're doing is expanding the system, and it will catch up with you. Because the minute that you start to do something different, you can no longer relate to people the same way, nor can they to you. So really what you're doing is you're playing a little bit in the quantum field. You're observing a new pattern into reality. And so what I also say to them is think of it this way. You have two choices in life. Either you change a limiting pattern or you perpetuate it. Which one? And if it's not a limiting pattern, if you've got somebody where there's a lot of wealth or really good humanity, you don't get complacent. Your job is to build the next level. Now, I want to get back to you because you've said it twice. Only 3% of the population is independently wealthy. Here's what we do. So we go, oh, well, I'm not in that 3%. Instead of going, what do you mean only 3%? How do we get it to 4%? Let's do 4%. That's what it took for Roger Bannister. There's another one, I think it's Stephen Kotler, and he talks about a very particular rock that they scaled in one of the national parks, and it killed people. People couldn't get up it. It took them days. And one guy came along and he stood back and he looked and went, no, there's the pattern there. And he went straight up. And as soon as he did that, everybody else did it.
It just takes
one. And why would you think the one is anybody other than you? It's you. And so that's what I do with people is to say to them, here's your limitation. Here's your purpose. Which one are you going to sit in? And then we move from the one to the other. And it causes great change. It literally causes people to rewire neural pathways. And then they will tell me, my health is better. My happiness is better. My family is better. No, you got better. You plugged in and you stopped believing that you were a limited edition. You are not.
I love your words. Everybody is an individual. Everybody has unlimited possibilities. But again, it's believing the story of other people, right? And so when they get to that point, I could just see people with eyes big as saucers when
saying,
this is why, you know, when you have a lot of money, you give it away to everybody. Or this is why you are a beautiful person and you dress down. You don't want people to look at you.
That all comes down to the sentences in your family system or in the world system. So you were talking earlier about having money and keeping money. So if in your family, for example, there's a great-grandfather who had all the money and then lost it and he gambled it away and we don't talk about great-grandfather, well, that echoes down because anytime you exclude someone in the family system, they pop up again and again in other versions until the pattern is looked at. So along comes you and you get all of the money and then you start to lose it. You go, what is going on? Then when we look together, you and I, and we see great-grandfather, and I say to you, hold on, that was his pattern. It's not yours. Give that back to him and tell him that belongs to you. I can do it differently. For you who lost, I can keep. I can change the pattern. We can go and invest differently. We don't have to gamble it all at the horses or put it all into one institution. What are the lessons from great-grandfather? Well, when that happens, suddenly you can keep the money and suddenly great-grandfather's not the villain anymore. He had money, so you have the DNA of money, and he showed you what to not do. So thank you, great-grandfather. Now I know what to not do and what to do.
Well, I think that's a wonderful point. Everybody, as you advance outside of your family's class, if I can call it that, you don't know what it's like to be in the next level up. So somebody to a mentor or somebody to be your guide on safari, shall we say, so you don't lose your money. I've come to my life, I've had lots of money myself, and when you're outside your family, outside your normal environment, and you're in a different world, you really do need guidance and direction. And when you're approaching that world like now to find out that great-grandpa had a lot of money, question is, how did he do it?
Yes. What was his story? How did he do it? What are the really good parts of that I can hold on to? And then for you, What is your big why? How did you, that's the Simon Sinek one. Why did you create that whole money piece? What drove you to do it? And what are you going to do with it? And in systemic work and constellations, we talk about your bands, your money bands or your bandwidth. We don't go up here. The minute we do, it's really scary. And what you've then got to do is say, okay, let me hear. What are the limiting sentences, the things that I tell myself that are going to pull me down? And What got me here? What were the elevating sentences? What did I tell myself that kept me going and got me here? Okay, now what are the sentences I need that are going to take me further on the journey? One of yours was, I need a mentor. Absolutely. I don't need to know it all. Somebody ahead of me can help me. Who is that person? So you go and look. I need to be careful because we know that my great-grandfather lost this. I don't want to do that. So am I conservative with my money? What do I need to do that ensures that we're building? But always, what is my big why? I have a billionaire person, a client, and I said to him, okay, so now you're the genie and in the lamp, what are you going to do with it? And he said, what do you mean? And I said, what are you going to do with your wealth? And he said, nobody's ever asked me that before.
I considered it. Wow.
Why did you make this? He said, because in our family at one stage, everything went to heck and we were very, very poor. And I was super determined we were not going to do that. So I said to him, okay, but you haven't put that to rest. You haven't said, we're there. We're good. Now what?
Uh-huh.
So he was holding on to that old thing and not spending anything and not doing anything. We've got to grow with it. If you're going to be wealthy, you've got to grow with the wealth and the rules and things that come with that.
Absolutely. His fear was motivating him from the time the family had not, and he was on a locomotive going in that same direction.
That was it. Absolutely. And then he thought he was an imposter and somebody was going to find him out. And I said to him, you're not an imposter. The minute you move beyond the system, you're a pioneer. It's not imposter syndrome. It's pioneer syndrome. You don't have the answers, but you're willing to go and find the answers.
Well said, because people are afraid if they step outside the family norm, you know, all of a sudden the family's going to come and ask for money. They're going to be in situations. And so maybe they give it away so they... You know, so they're not bothered with the spirit.
They can go back to the pattern because we always have this unconscious loyalty. So it's the unconscious loyalty that we've got to break and say, what is the new feeling? What are the new thoughts, the new feelings, the new mindset? In fact, what is the new truth? Because by the way, the truth is only your truth. It's not their truth.
Well said. Everybody has values. And of course, when I was a little kid, my tricycle was my most valuable thing. Then it was my bicycle, then my motorcycle, then my car, and
exactly.
Now it's my couch.
I love it. But notice how, yes, if we don't grow with that, we're still stuck with a tricycle.
Well, that's the thing, Judy, is that people are afraid, in my opinion, of the unknown. Threshold of success. Some people turn away. They're afraid to take that next step. And I encourage my clients and my friends, take the next step because you don't know what's going to happen and it's scary. But every pivotal point in your life, you took that step. So don't be afraid now. But people pleasing or conformity or going back to the old pattern, as you so wisely said today, these are the invisible blocks. Would you say you use the term?
There's a systemic trance that pulls you back and you can feel that you're in a trance. It is the trance of the system. And you don't want to do that. You always want to say to yourself, what more is possible here? Not what less, what more is possible here? Now, I have people who challenge me because on my website, I say, how big are you willing to be? And somebody said to me the other day, you're always about the bigness, the bigness, the bigness, the bigness. And I said, yeah. Because if you're not growing, you're slowing. And it's not about you have to have giant steps every day, but it is about you were given the mind and a body, and what is the most that you can do with that? And by the way, the byproduct of the most you can do with that is you won't just benefit yourself, you're going to benefit society. And you want to have lots of wants. People are discouraged from having wants. Have lots of wants. It's how the world grows. There is nothing wrong with having one. It's how a baby learns to walk. It's how we have a career. It all comes from a want. It is not an ego want. It is a deep want. Follow the want.
I agree. Where enthusiasm is your compass needle, and keep going. My grandfather had a plaque, and it was, if you're not going forward, you're going backwards. So just to agree with what you said, and the successful people I've met in my life, they never stop being successful. And I concluded that they had two things, and maybe you would elaborate. One, whatever they started, they finished. And two, whatever they started, they took a long time at considering to start it, and then they were 100% behind it. No distractions, no delays, just one step after another. So in somebody finding out about their emotional DNA, people are afraid. They talk to other people down ladder rather than up the ladder, and they get bad advice behind them. They should be talking to people above who give them good advice. They are a little reluctant because they don't believe in themselves. They have those patterns that you've so wisely written in your book about emotional blueprints that they have to, I wouldn't say throw out, but they have to examine and correct. And then finally, they just have to keep on keeping on. And so when somebody comes to you, as you've said, these people have lots of assets, I personally believe that money doesn't make anybody happy. It gives them more responsibility and the things. But when they come to you and the question is this, like, for people looking at this interview all over the world, because we have an international audience, I found people all over the world, by the way, are the same. No matter what country I've been in, what continent I've been on, everybody is the same. Obviously, you've been to many continents and traveled extensively yourself and have probably come to that same conclusion. But when people are looking at this and they're right now wondering, yes, she's right. I'm going to buy her book. I'm going to go to Disneyland and see her in person. How can I do this? You know, how can I, where do I get started? First of all, don't tell your family or anything, okay? That's my advice. But when they get to that point, let me let you direct people. When they get to that point.
When they get to that point, they're already on the journey. If they're picking up the book, they're already on the journey. And they're saying, I know that there's more for me. And it doesn't matter where you are right now. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are right now. All you've got to do is be willing to look and be willing to have a look at what's in front of you and acknowledge what's in front of you, and then take those patterns and start building them into what you choose. And it is a 100% commitment. This is where people get stuck. They say to me, this is a big commitment. And I said, well, why? You commit to a very average life every day. That's an equally big commitment. You're just changing the parameters, that's all, and you're making it fun. Yes, people think, am I good enough? Can I do it? Can I not? There is nobody who cannot go to the next level in the next level. So that's the first thing that I say to people. Then I say to them, pick up the book and put down all of the old thoughts and beliefs, all the limiting ones. Put them down. You have nothing to lose by putting them down for 10 minutes, or 20 minutes while you read the book. You can pick them up again if you want to. But for a period of time, allow yourself to believe in the possibility of what's next. What's possible here? Move from what is to what's possible, even if it's for 20 minutes a day, and begin to watch the difference. And also, don't invest only in those lower level emotions. Start investing in excitement, joy, enthusiasm, imagination, gratitude, kindness. It doesn't take money. It just takes commitment. You will then start rewiring your brain. And then they go, oh, rewiring the brain. And I say to them, it's one new thought, one new action, one new feeling at a time. That's all you need at a time. Keep doing that. You will get to where it is that you want to be.
Wisely said. If you change one thing in your life, it's like you're on a certain direction, on a compass,
yep.
And if you change one degree, you are not going to get to where you were headed. You're now going on a new path.
You're quite right. And you know, you said something earlier that I really liked. You said you have to have goals. You do, because otherwise, any road will get you nowhere super fast. So you have to have a goal, but it doesn't mean that it's got to be that goal that's so far away that you can't do anything about it. You should keep it there, but you're quite right. Give yourself bite sizes along the way, because it builds that kind of winner effect in your brain. And I know there's a gentleman who's written about the winner effect. It's really important. You go, I can, I can, I can. And you build it. And I promise you, when you've done it once, when you've had a dream and got the dream, you're going to do it again and again and again, because it's too much fun to not. That's when you come out. You were talking about those people who say, oh, I don't know if I can take that step. My words to those people are, you have no idea of the incredible life that's waiting for you on the other side of that step. Take the step.
Well said. That is the best. Let's take another quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Every so often, an individual appears who can demonstrate the ability to access the dimension known as the Akashic Field. Dr. Douglas James Cottrell is one such individual. The field is like a celestial library of all our thoughts and actions. Since the dawn of time, science is demonstrating that through this energetic field, our minds are connected to one another despite our perception that we're all separate. This is why the great religions of the world teach respect, compassion, and tolerance. They depict the field as the book of life, the source of inventions, inspiration, and insight. In the book, Conversations with the Akashic Field, Dr. Cottrell offers you practical advice from the Akashic Field so you may live a life of peace and prosperity. Go to douglasjamescottrell.com and click on Shop. There you'll find books, meditation, and other spiritual advancement materials. For many years, clairvoyant seers have had the ability to peer into the Akashic Field and see the library of information for every thought, deed, and action of souls living on the physical earth plane. One of four such individuals, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, trained under the direction of Ross Peterson, who, just like Edgar Cayce, was able to diagnose and provide guidance for physical and other problems encountered in daily life. One of Douglas's many books, The Complete New Age Health Guide, is a plentiful resource from thousands of clairvoyant readings. You'll learn how thought, emotion, and attitude influence your physical health, keys to anti-aging, the simple ways to a good life and diet, and so much more. Take a look at The New Age Health Guide. On sale now at douglasjamescottrell.com.
And welcome back to the show, everyone. From wherever you are listening to this show in the world, I am encouraging you to go and pick up your copy of Decoding Your Emotional Blueprint by Judy Wilkins Smith. It's an amazing book that just, I'm sure, will change your life, if not change the course in your life, and get you back on that path. Tell me a little bit about the blueprint of your emotions, if people are wondering about that. What exactly does that mean?
Sure. And just by the way, Douglas, for people all around the world, the book is now in eight different languages.
You know, I think you must be a little intuitive, because I was thinking that I was going to ask you
Well, there you go.
And I thought I'd eased into it.
Yep. They can pick it up in their own language. I know that in Latin America, it's becoming very popular too. So
well said.
Tell me what else that you wanted to, you wanted to know about the emotional blueprint. Okay,
so your emotional blueprint
is a combination of a couple of things. First of all, it's all the things that you have seen, heard, observed, assimilated, and inherited as a kid and growing up. You've watched your mother or your father struggle. You've seen it. You've heard the fight. You've made that into something around money, and that becomes a bit of a blueprint for you. And if you go back, you'll see that your mother and your father had the same blueprint or a similar one. So there are all of the patterns around relationships, leadership, career, you name it, money. We've got these from the ones who came before us, which, by the way, is another really good reason to do your genealogy, because genealogy is not just about where you belong. It's also about the events in your inheritance and about what they mean. So when I do this work, it's also called genealogy 3.0. Genealogy 2.0 is the events in your life or in your ancestors' life. So that's the one piece. The other piece is your epigenetic imprint. So you have an event. An event causes a reaction. The reaction starts thoughts, feelings, and actions. And if those thoughts, feelings, and actions are strong enough, they create an epigenetic imprint onto your genetic coding. In other words, they then begin to activate or deactivate some of those switches. And when that happens, you may suddenly become predisposed to, or you may become, your emotions may be a specific way. Now, there are two lots of studies that are really important. One is the Great Dutch Hunger Winter, where they observed a village that was entirely encircled by the Nazis at the time. And they were deprived of food and water, so they basically lived off what was there for 3 months. And when they studied the mothers who were pregnant with children at the time, they discussed, it's a long study, but they discovered that this had impacted the children as well as the mothers. But even more interesting was that it impacted their children and their children's children. So we had four generations of that study, and you could see where the PTSD markers were elevated and what had happened physically for those children. The other more recent one is the study of the 9/11 mothers and those who were carrying children, and the fact that their children have elevated PTSD markers too. So we now know that trauma travels. But here's the other piece that we don't look at. Transformation also travels. So if you start to change a pattern, you're not just changing it for you. You're changing the narrative going backwards, but you're also changing the pattern going forwards. So trauma travels, absolutely, but transformation travels. And that's where we need to be focused. How do I make a difference? What is my purpose? What exactly am I passing on to my children? Because it is not just physical DNA, it is absolutely also emotional DNA.
Wow, that explains something. I've seen in one family, one person does something, and the ripple effect, I would call it, goes out to all of their siblings and parents. And all of a sudden, mom and dad are a little more lively. They're not just sitting home. And the brothers and sisters, maybe they're a little jealous, maybe they're a little, whatever, they're motivated to.
Yep.
And then the person's children, the children start to give their parents respect, and they start to see newness in their parents. So that one person, whoever's listening to this show right now, wherever they are in the world, you could be the person that takes your family into this next, what can we call it, age? Or the next.
It's the new pattern. It's the new DNA that's forming. It's like the person who came to me and said to me, I can't belong in my family because I'm very happy and generous and sharing, and my family is very stoic, and all I ever got from them were little drops of love. And then I said, tell me about your parents. And she said, well, they were from the Holocaust.
Wow.
And I said, hold on. Could your parents give you or demonstrate big emotion? She said, no, they'd have been killed. I said, but they gave you the little drops. and look what you've made. Of course you belong. And it changed everything for her.
There goes that value system again.
There it does.
Other people down the street have parents do this. But wait a minute, your parents went through this horrific time. They survived. God bless them. And they were still able to raise you as a child and give you whatever.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly. Those are heroic parents. They're heroic parents. I had one, I think he'll stay with me forever, who walked in, a lady who walked in and said, I'm a professor at a particular university, but I can't even talk to people because I'm so embarrassed and I'm so shy. And I said to her, what's going on? She said, my mother's a prostitute. So I said, wait, what? Because people tell me all sorts of things. And I said to her, do we mean literally, figuratively? She said, no, she was. She grew up when she was three. There was a particular set of circumstances and this happened to her and it was the way she survived. And she said, I'm so embarrassed. And I said, you're embarrassed. Your mother had to survive. She's a hero. And she then raised normal children. All four of you do well in the world. How are you not celebrating? She went, oh, my goodness. I never thought of it that way.
Taking other people's values and opinions and putting them on themselves.
Yeah,
throw
them
away and get that search inside, that emotional DNA. Wow.
One of the things that I encourage people to do often if they struggle with their parents is look at their parents' background and then see how in some very small way your parent is actually a hero. And that's a challenge for people, but it's there.
I've got a pat you on the back for saying that. It's almost bringing tears to my eyes from people I know, people that complain to me. I grew up where I talked to my mentor, Ross Peterson, who taught me what I know about what I do. And he said, well, you know, you're going to have to forgive your dad. And I did. And a big relief came. But now at my age, looking back, my father was 38 years older than I was. He was 38 when I was born. So he had this rebellious, rambunctious teenage know-it-all square-headed kid to deal with. And he raised me, he provided for me, and I turned out okay. And now I have the greatest admiration and love for this poor man who worked so hard all of his life. But when I was younger, I thought, what does he know? You know,
And we think it's all about me, but it's also all about them. They are people too. They are people with dreams too. I had somebody stand, he said to me, I can't stand my mother. And he called her all sorts of names. And
I said,
tell me the story. And he said, well, this is my mother and she's very self-centered. Da, 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 da. And I said, tell me about her growing up. And he said, you know, when she was six, she used to have to go to the local bar and get the money from her father, no, from the barman when her father was drunk, so she could get food for her siblings. And I said to him, okay, let's just put someone up to represent your mom. Now tell that six-year-old how much you don't like her and how stupid she is. And he went, I can't do it.
Wow. That's why your work is so valuable. One person at a time, you're changing the world.
People are changing themselves in the world one person at a time. And I get to see that and I'm super lucky.
Better said. Listen, I've got to ask you one last question before we go. And I want to know more about what's going on in Disneyland, Disney World. And that is, we're in a time now where we have AI, we've had COVID, the world, everybody's angry. We have wars going on. We have gigantic earth changes and gigantic loss of life. Things that I have foreseen myself, and now here we are. I wrote a book called A New Earth years ago. When people come in, is there like an overtone to this now when they come? People are afraid of what's going to happen in the world. Your earth changes, the world's heating up, the oceans are the weather patterns are disaster. Is that an overview? I'm not trying to put you on the spot, Judy, at all, but does that come in now when people come in to see you? Is that like a big factor in there?
It comes in a lot. It changes very quickly when I point out that the one person who can do anything about it is them.
Bravo. Well said. Tell me a little bit more what's going on at Disney World?
So at Disney World, from November the 5th through November the 8th, we've got accommodations at Beach Club, and the event is at the Yacht Club. And for 4 days, we're going to dive into where did your money DNA come from? How has it impacted you? How do you want it to be? How do we get you from where you are to where you want to be? And you walk away a whole lot with a whole lot different mindset. One of the first things I teach people is money is not a commodity. It's a relationship. And it is a very big, wise, and it will show up for you the way that you show up for it. So you begin to form a very different relationship with money. You also begin to understand that it is not an inanimate object. It is listening and waiting for you to tell it what to do, and it will walk with you. But you've got to be the one to approach money.
Wow. I know there are super savers in the world, and I know there are super money makers in the world, and the really wealthy are the people that put those two assets together.
Absolutely.
I like your...
What would I say? They move outside of the traditional mindset. They don't see the limits. They look for the possibilities. And money plays in possibility.
You know, that's a good point. People I know that are very successful with money, there is no doubt that they're going to make money. They're cautious. They examine very carefully what they're going to get into. They know where they're going to go. They know how they're not afraid to make an investment. And they put their money down on the table. They sign on the dotted line. They do whatever they do. They commit. I've seen people who say, like, I want to make $1 million. They say, okay, well, give me $100,000 and I'll invest it for you to make $1 million. They go, oh, $100,000, no way. They're not willing to make that commitment.
That commitment they don't make, but there's another commitment, and people don't realize it. The commitment to yourself. If you're not investing in yourself, if you're not learning, if you're not going and finding out what more you can learn, you're going to sit in the same flower pot.
Surprise, nothing happened. Oh, gosh. My guest today has been the delightful and wonderful Judy Wilkins-Smith, author of Decoding Your Emotional Blueprint. It's been wonderful to have you on the show today. If I'm down your way, I will drop into Disney and take the event in myself. And again, where could people find out about this, your website, or how do they buy tickets?
Absolutely. I would love to have you at Disney, by the way. So they can find out about the event at Judy, J-U-D-Y, and then next same word, WILKINS-Smith.com. And if they just scroll down a teeny bit, they will see events, and it's right there.
Well, it's been wonderful having you on the show. Let's do it again sometime.
Yes, please. I've had great fun.
I did too. We made some magic, I think.
Okay, so I have to share this with you before we go. I have to share this with you. Every single day before I walk out of the door, there is one thing that I say. Let's make a little magic today.
And I was just using your words in your email that you said.
I love it.
It's been wonderful. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure. It really has been an education as well. For everybody listening in the world, you're listening to the Global Village International Radio Broadcast and Zoom program. We'll be back next week with another exciting guest. This is your host, Douglas James Cottrell.
We'll be right back, taking your phone calls on the Global Village Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio with your hosts, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell and Doug Bentley.
You're invited to embark on your own spiritual journey today by discovering the expansive works and services from Dr. Douglas James Cottrell. Elevate your being physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Visit DouglasJamesCottrell.com. With over a dozen enlightening books and meditative audio downloads to help guide you through life's complexities. Delve deep into the mysteries of human consciousness, the future, and the spiritual realm. As the author of Secrets of Life, The Complete New Age Health Guide, Conversations with the Akashic Field, and more, Douglas opens the doors to realms most people only dream of visiting. The writings of Dr. Douglas James Cottrell are based on his unique ability to visit the Akashic Field, where all knowledge since the dawn of man is stored. You can read about the predictions, many of which have already come true, and planetary changes, health remedies, human growth are all written. Go to DouglasJamesCottrell.com and view the selections of books and MP3 audio available now. That's DouglasJamesCottrell.com. You're listening to the Global Village International Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell. Call in and ask a question about tonight's topic at area code 718-766-4421. That's 718-766-4421. Now, once again, here's Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
Well, welcome to the show, my friends. We're going to go to the phone calls, and there's people in the list, in the queue, rather, that have been listening to this wonderful lady, Judy Wilkins-Smith, author of Decoding Your Emotional Blueprint. When I interviewed the good lady, Judy, it was a Zoom interview, and you can go to my website and to the YouTube channel very soon to see this Zoom interview in its totality and be able to see and meet Judy on the Zoom interview. It was a dynamic interview, and it was one I had a synergy going on with Judy, in which I found that a lot of the things she said were known, if you will, but needed to be said. And then, as I mentioned about my father, when I was a young man, my father would have been more like my grandfather, actually, as I was growing up. He was about 50 when I was a teenager, in his 50s anyway. And I didn't understand how hard my father was working. And as I, you know, got older, he got smarter. You know the old saying, the old man got smarter when I got older. How did he do that? Well, it's me. I got smarter, and I started to appreciate the woes this man, my father, suffered, went through, and how he managed his life. I'm going to compliment my father, God bless him, and that was that for all of his life, he never, ever had a mortgage on his house. He came out of the service. He was in the Royal Canadian Air Force, and even at the end of the war, and even when he was counseled or told by the powers that be as he was exiting or mustered out of the service, do not buy a house, was what they were told as they were leaving the service. I guess that was some intention not to, you know, inflate house prices or whatever. But father scraped up about $2,000 and bought his first house. And God bless him. He had one other house in our growing up. And that was a wonderful place, twice or three times as big as the first house we were, the family was living in. But he never had a mortgage. And then I bought a house when I was 21, and he came to me one day and he said, so tell me, what is this mortgage? What does that mean? What is it? And I said to him in a startled mode, I said, Dad, you don't know what a mortgage is? I was dumbfounded, but then, you know, I was proud of it at one time, and I couldn't believe he didn't know. But as I got older, I started to realize he never knew about that because he never had any debts. He ran his entire business on a, an income basis. He had no debt. He owned a great big property in downtown Toronto, as did my grandfather. And I think back how my dad was so able and capable, just an ordinary working guy. He was a mechanic. He worked in the planes in the Air Force. He was top-notch. I think he was called lead something or other mechanic. He was very, very good. He volunteered when he was 30-something, 33, 34 years of age to go into the service. Imagine that. Another revelation. So I'm not getting carried away reminiscing here, but in talking to Judy and what her possibility thinking was, it's not what you're looking to affirm or looking to acquire or looking to say mantras or, you know, go over and over with verses. It's kind of like, look at where are you now? What are you manifesting now that's stopping you? And that is a revolutionary thought. Where you are right now, you've manifested your thinking, your beliefs, your practices, wherever. It's got you to this point right now where you are, wherever you are, whoever is listening to my voice right here, no matter where you are in the world, where you are right now is what you have manifested for yourself. If you like where you are, super, great, wonderful. If you don't like where you are, then what were you doing before to get you here? Because you have to undo what you did before. You have to change. And we know that change takes time. It's not instant. It's not something you can decide one day, oh, I'm going to be very disciplined. I'm going to get out of bed at 7 a.m. every day instead of sleeping in till 9 or 10. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. You cannot. It cannot be done all at once. You have to do it incrementally and one habit at a time. But her point of view, from what I gained from that interview, was that what are you manifesting or have manifested and are manifesting now that is keeping you right where you are? What can you do? Are you angry? What's making you angry? Do you find yourself when you start to work on something, you start to get angry and you work harder? Well, somebody in your past has manipulated you. They have provoked you to become angry during the time you're working. So you would work harder and faster. And they did that on purpose. And so you've incorporated this into your present day habits and you don't even know it. So what are you manifesting then that is affecting you now? And that, my friends, was Max making an exit out of the room here, knocking over something or other. Sorry about that. Sorry, Paul, probably blew your earphones off. It was so loud. Max is out running at the back door looking at something, no doubt. So anyway, getting back to the interview, if you have a call tonight, we're going to take some calls now. We're manifesting this wonderful blog talk program. Paul, I think you've got the magic fingers tonight. How are you doing on the production of the show? Everybody knows this is Paul Hughes of Hughes Media, who is the producer of the Global Village radio show and also the producer of the Douglas James Cottrell's Zoom show. Looks like you're doing okay. I'm seeing the buttons working, behaving themselves. What did you do, Paul? This is amazing. And there we go. Paul's microphone's open, but he can't quite hear him. So as you know, my friends, we have this love-hate relationship with Blog Talk. It just seems to be, you know, what a monkey does, a monkey does. And Paul's been working his fingers to the bone to try to get the microphones working and things like that. So, Paul, your mic is open, it looks like. Can you hear me? You're probably shouting in your microphone right now. Okay, I'm going to go to the 516 area code and take a call. And there's a couple more sitting there. We will see what you have to say. Okay, Paul, so I'm going to go here and try this one. And hello, you're on the air. Hi, you're on the air. Can you hear me? You have a question for myself about Judy Wilkins-Smith? I can't hear you, so it looks like Blog Talk has done it again. I'm sorry to say we're pressing the right buttons, and we can't seem to hear anybody. I couldn't hear Paul, and Paul, you're putting this person back on with the mics off. So Shall we try another caller? Okay, let me try this one, the 773. Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, I'm just listening. Thank you.
Oh, good. Your microphone works. This is great.
Yes, okay.
And where are you listening into, by the way, just to get a little voice here?
Yeah, in Chicago.
In Chicago, okay.
Chicago.
We were looking for our friend Carol, who calls in from Chicago all the time too. So how do you like the show so far?
I like her. Miss Wilson. Yeah, you're talking about the book. Yeah, I really like it. I do understand what she's talking about and everything. Yeah.
Okay, good. She was a delightful interview, and you can look to the Zoom interview coming up. Go to my website, douglasjamescottrell.com, and or very soon this interview will be posted on the YouTube, my YouTube channel as well, and you'll be able to see it as well as listen to it. But your microphone is working here. We're excited about that. I can't hear Paul, so I know you're in the background there somewhere, Paul. I can see your mic's open. And the person, the 516, we couldn't quite hear them. But anyway, I'm glad you like the show. I know you listen every week, and I hope you're enjoying the series.
Oh, yes. Oh, I still want to ask you about one of your books, the book Teachings of Jesus, The Hidden Years. There's a new one, says Avatar Teaching of Jesus.
That's right, yes.
So that's the new one? I mean, is that the same? Is it just updated? Or?
Well, just a second here, and I'll see if I can help you out with that. Because when we go to the books, that's the Avatar, the Secret Life of Jesus Christ. And then there's Conversations with the Akashic Field. And the Avatar, the Secret Life of Jesus Christ, in paperback. It's not brand new. It's a couple of years old, I think. Looking at the secrets of life. I do have a book coming in Spanish. The Secrets of Life has been translated into Spanish, and it's being published in Costa Rica, or Colombia, pardon me. So is okay. That what you were asking about, the Avatar, the Secret Life of Jesus?
Yeah, and then there was one, I got to get you back in the book. What if it's the one called Jesus the Christ, the Hidden Life and Teachings?
Okay, well, that's probably, I'm going to try to find that one. It's probably a newer, different one, which is probably an e-book.
Okay, it does say e. Okay, so it's a different book. So the Avatar is the same, just as, the same thing about the hidden life. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
well,
good.
The story, is just the beginning. Jesus of Nazareth is one of the most well-known yet least understood individuals in modern history. Over the ages, the historical accounts from the Gospels have been heavily questioned and critiqued, to the point where some scholars believe that there never was a historical figure of Jesus. The work of Edgar Cayce and Douglas Cottrell tell a different story. However, the story of a man who was born to fulfill a prophecy and change the world with compassion. Follow this compelling story that chronicles the life of a man born in the secret in the Essenes community and trained in the esoteric and mystery schools of the time to become an example, a teacher, a master, and ultimately an avatar, or Messiah, if you will. Why study the life of Jesus? Jesus was a master teacher, a soul who had learned to transmute matter and even transcend physical death itself. Jesus exemplified the promise of the eternal life of the soul beyond the earth. Jesus demonstrated all the spiritual abilities and inspired his fellows to express these abilities in themselves. But more importantly, Jesus comes as a way-shower to teach us the mechanism to overcome the original sin of separation from the Christos, or God Almighty, through the application of the law of love. If we follow his example, the promise is that we too may attain to Christ consciousness, ultimately to be an avatar while we're here on the world. This is originally published as a collection of e-transcripts. This edition has been reorganized and expanded with a all new material available for the first time in paperback. It includes information regarding the life of Jesus, including his time with the Essenes and the Magi in Carmel, and his education in Egypt, India, and Tibet. This information was gathered from the etheric well of knowledge known as the Akashic Field by myself through a series of investigations using the quantum meditation phenomena. So there you go. That's the readout on the website to answer that question. And the other one, I think, is which I'm not going to go looking on the website, is I think one of those earlier ones, or maybe a later one, on the okay. On the an update or an expanded view. Anyway, the website's for everybody listening, douglasjamescottrell.com, and you can go on there right now and see the various things. We have some new links, the Global Village Radio Show, which we're listening to now. We have, I think it's well over, I don't know, since 2012 or something we've been doing these. So how many weeks would that be? 50 weeks in a year, 10 years, there's over 500 shows. They're not all listed there now, but there's that many broadcasts. We have the Wake Up Podcast, which is a 30-minute or so interesting podcast, exploring in the Vedic sciences, intuition, human consciousness, awareness, and intuition. And then there's the books. And then also to check out my YouTube channel, which is in regard to the Douglas James Cottrell Show. Again, they'll be posted on YouTube. And Judy Wilkins-Smith is one of the many, many, many fascinating guests we've had on the show of late. And I'm speaking to everybody now, not just this lovely lady from Chicago who's just listening to the show. And we managed to talk for a couple of minutes anyway. So check out that those interviews, and you'll find that they're, I've got some pretty amazing people. I'm not going to recount them, but they're pretty amazing. So with that, thank you very much for listening in and asking that question. Got me to talk a little bit about my website at the same time.
Yeah, good. Yeah, thank you very much. Okay.
Okay. Well, Paul's going to go to another caller, I think.
Okay.
And we'll put you back in the hold. We're just about coming to the end of the show. We got another 8 minutes left or so. Anyway, thank you very much for your help today, and I'm glad you enjoyed the show. I know you're here every week, and it's good to have fans like yourself. Appreciate it.
Okay, you're welcome. Yes, I'm enjoying your show. Thank you.
I certainly am glad to hear that. I really am. Okay, take care.
Okay.
Bye for now.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay, I'm watching Paul press the buttons here, and are we going to go to the 313 next, Paul? Look at my voice. I'm losing my voice here. What's going on? Paul, are you pressing the buttons? Kind of waiting in with anticipation here. Will I get a little lozenges out here? There we go. Hi, you're on the air. Hi, Douglas, you're on the air. Who is it? Where are you calling from?
I think you're talking to me. This is Tony.
I am.
Detroit.
I'm talking to you. Hiya. You're in the 313 area code, I believe.
Yes.
Okay. Do you have a question?
Well.
Or a comment?
I'm kind of off topic, Doctor. I kind of missed the first part of the show.
Oh, well, it was dynamite. It was amazing. It was wonderful. It was fantastic. You're going to regret it for the rest of your life not listening to that show, that first part of the show. But what's your question? So we can squeeze you in here with a couple more minutes.
Oh, okay. Doctor, do you have any mediumship abilities?
Do I have any which?
Mediumship abilities.
You mean, do I talk to ghost people or people that are beyond? Sometimes I do. And I don't let them take me over like a medium, which is a highly specialized talent or ability. I see the people in the other side as in a clairvoyant way. It's just like looking at the other side of the world, only I'm looking at the other side of the veil. Why? Who are you missing?
Well, I've had a couple of people pass this year, and I was just wondering if maybe you could tell me if there's anybody around me or...
Actually, I see three people around you, and they're looking down at you, and they're kind of got serious-looking faces. They're looking at you, and they're impatient. They're like, "What are you? Come on, what are you going to do? Like, get going." They're really looking and expecting things of you, and you're kind of like, well, I don't want to say confused. You're just kind of not sure which way to go. You're a little unsure. And I don't know who you've been talking to, but you seem to be listening to somebody else, or you seem to be a little unsure. And they're above. They're pointing their finger at you, like, you know, get going, come on. That's what I see. And now there seem to be two younger and one older person. Does that make sense? Who they are?
Well, the couple of people that have passed are old people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, younger.
Go ahead.
Not so much.
I'm not looking at old people. There's just two younger than the other one, and but they're not disappointed in you, but they're disappointed in that you're not going forward or doing something, or you know, like you're just sort of procrastinating, treading water, I might say. Does that sound like you're doing that, or are you just kind of stuck?
Oh, yeah. I'm a classic procrastinator. I try, but I guess I don't try hard enough.
That's right. That's exactly. You're trying, but not hard enough. Yeah, but they're really like they're serious. They want you to do something. It's like you're not letting them down, but you're wasting. You know, you're wasting away. So make a plan, make a goal. See one small thing. Let's say you decided that you're going to cut the front lawn, the grass. I'm just making this up now. So when you've decided it, then it becomes your duty. Nobody else can do this. You've decided it's something you and you alone can do. Then you go and you do it. And you don't let anything else interfere. You don't say, well, I'll get to it later, or, well, you know, it looks like it might rain, or, you know, there's a great something or other on the internet, or, you know, I'll get to it later. None of that. You say, I decided to do it. I owe this to myself. I'm going to do it. And then you go and you do it, even though it's kind of like, well, I'll just do a little to get started, and then we'll do a little more. The next thing you know, you got the whole lawn cut. I'm giving that in a way of how to talk yourself into doing something, but... make up your mind and then do it, and you're going to feel really good about yourself. And I can see them applauding like this, like that, all three of them when I just said those words to you. So they approve of what I'm saying. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. Was your guest an expert in kind of that and working?
No, the guest, Judy Wilkins-Smith, is an author. She is highly regarded international organizer, individual and family patterns expert. She is a systematic coach and trainer. She is the founder of the U.S. company System Dynamics for Individuals and Organizations. And she is a highly sought after motivational and informational speaker for conferences, of which she has something coming up at Disney World in November. Anyway, she'll be on my Zoom interview, my Zoom show called the Douglas James Cottrell Show. And you can go to my website, douglasjamescottrell.com, and you'll see the Wake Up Podcast, the Global Village Radio Show icon, and also a place to buy books and to find your way all the way to the YouTube channel. So listen, we've got 1 minute to go. I'm going to say goodnight. Thank you very much for your late call. And you can listen to this show again in the archive versions of the Global Village Radio Show on Blog Talk.
One last question, Doc.
Hurry up. I only got a minute.
Do you have anybody who's like a very good medium you could recommend?
I didn't get that. Say again.
Do you have anybody who's a very good medium that you might recommend?
There's a lady I know. Her name is Sharon Santos in, no, I might say the name wrong. She is in New Mexico, but I can't get you in contact with her. I just know the lady because I met her. She took my course years ago.
Wow.
Anyway, don't dabble with Ouija boards or anything like that. I just gave you a direct message from those people, and they want you to get started. Do something. Pick one thing and get it done. Don't waste your life. Don't let yourself rust, okay?
Thank you.
What's your first name, by the way?
Tony.
And where are you calling from?
Detroit.
Okay. Pleasure to meet you, my friend. Take care. We have to go. Bye for now.
Thank you.
Okay. We're at the end of the show, my friends. Paul, if we can end the show. This is Douglas James Cottrell speaking. The producer of the show is our good friend Paul Hughes of Hughes Media One, and the co-host Doug Bentley was not here tonight. He had the night off, and we look forward to seeing you all right here next week for another exciting interview on the Global Village International Radio Show. I'm your host, Douglas James Cottrell. Good night, my friends. See you real soon. Peace and prosperity to you.
Thanks for listening to the Global Village Online Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, and co-host, Doug Bentley. Brought to you by MindPro Publications and Productions, a division of Douglas James Cottrell & Associates, Incorporated. Copyright 2023, Douglas James Cottrell. No part of this broadcast audio may be reproduced in whole or in part without expressed written permission.